Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Let's listen in as Ricky Vigil gets the 411. Currently 72 sunny degrees out there. Weather on the fives, the sixes, the nines, and the fours. Welcome to Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm your host, JP. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. Today's episode features Weird Al Yankovic, a Pat Maine track, New Plastic Furs, and the Black Angels. Also, we'll do the daily calendar rundown with a stare. Weird Al Yankovic has been around parroting popular music since the mid-80s. His new album, Apocalypse, is his 13th studio album. It was released July 21st, 2011. It's his first in 5 years and also nearly topped the Billboard charts. It contains parody songs of Lady Gaga, Britney Spears, The Beebster, and many other artists. You can see Weird Al live at the Utah State Fairgrounds on September 12th. Let's listen in as contributing editor Ricky Vigil gets more information about Weird Al Yankovic and his latest release.
Living in Beverly Hills.
You've been on Tim and Eric. You've been on a few podcasts lately. And you seem to have been kind of embraced by the alternative comedy movement. And I was wondering if you have seen any, like, more hipstery people in your crowd, or if it's changed at all in the last little bit, and kind of how you feel about being lumped in with that movement.
I know a lot of, quote-unquote, alternative comedians that don't like being called alternative comedians. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of all those people that you mentioned, and a lot of my favorite comedians are people that would, by and large, be considered part of that world. I mean, I think if you look through the people that I follow on Twitter, you get a pretty good sense of the kind of people that I find funny. And I don't know that it's my actual, the makeup of my actual audience has changed that much. It's always been pretty diverse. I mean, you know, my crowd is more multi-generational, I think, than just about any kind of concert crowd you'll be able to find out there. I mean, it's everybody from toddlers to geriatrics, and I'm very fortunate that way, because a lot of the people that were into me in the 80s are still following me, and I seem to get I seem to get more fans at every album I put out, and a new generation discovers me, so it's quite an eclectic mix of people that
The
show.
Here at Slug Magazine, we cover more like underground, quote-unquote, musicians and stuff like that, so a lot of our audience doesn't really listen to mainstream radio that much, and myself included. And with that said, like, I don't know a lot of the songs that you're parodying now, but I can still enjoy them because it's your voice and it's funny. And I wonder if you keep that potential disconnect in mind when you're writing music, if people don't know the songs that you're parodying.
That's actually my number one rule of parody writing is it needs to be funny even if you're unfamiliar with the source material. The joke can't be, oh, I'm making fun of this song. That's just a starting point. I mean, the song needs to be as funny if it's a completely original composition. It needs to be funny completely on its own merit.
Yeah.
For that very reason, I mean, you know, a lot of my fans may not be that familiar with current pop music, or just, you know, our culture has gotten so fragmented that it's difficult to even know what a mainstream hit is anymore, because, you know, we don't have the communal experience of watching videos on MTV, and radio and the internet have fragmented what pop music to the point where, you know, there are not that many across the board hits these days. So it makes it even more important now than ever for me to do songs that are funny, regardless of your familiarity with the original.
Kind of going along with what you were saying about music being more fragmented in general, have you ever thought about doing like a more niche parody song or a style parody or anything like that? Because I mean, I'm sure that your interest is beyond top 40 radio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly the parodies I try to make as accessible and as possible. But a lot of my originals can be fairly obscure. I mean, you know, a lot of my originals, even though they are in fact original, are meant to sound like other artists. And I've done not one but two pastiches of Tony O'Kay, which I think probably a lot of people are not familiar with. You know, he was a new wave artist from the late 70s, early 80s. But he's one of my favorite artists, and I've done a couple tributes to him. So, I mean, the originals tend to be more my personal taste in music. And that's not necessarily based on whether they're mainstream or popular. It's just my own personal music.
But you still love him anyway. Yeah, you know you love him anyway. Charles Nelson Riley won the Tour de France with two flat tires and a missing chain. He trained a rattlesnake to do his laundry. I'm telling you, the man was insane.
Are there any other, like, maybe weird tastes that fans might not know about? Like, do you have any interest in any weird black metal or anything else odd like that that people might not know about?
Some deep, dark secrets? You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, my personal taste in music tends to be more alternative. I don't want to give you a laundry list of bands
or anything
like that, but I like artists quirky and have a sense of humor, not necessarily comedy artists, although I like it as well, of course. But I mean, you know, I like artists that don't take themselves too seriously and are a bit odd, perhaps.
Yeah. So your live show is amazing. I've seen it a few times. I think everybody who has seen it has, I think most people enjoy it. But
well, thank you.
Yeah. I had a question about when do you retire songs in a live setting? Because, like you were saying earlier, since stuff moves so much and since you kind of had to stay with the times, do you kind of think about that when you're planning out your set list from tour to tour?
Yeah, I mean, for this new tour, one of the biggest considerations was I knew that we were going to be shooting this for our Comedy Central special and the upcoming DVD and Blu-ray. So I didn't want to have anything in the set list that we couldn't include in the show. And we had been doing my James Blunt parody, You're Pitiful, ever since I wrote it. And it always was a big fan favorite, and it was something that I enjoyed performing. But I knew that we could not get that cleared for the show because James Blunt's people just frankly did not care for it. So that had to go away. And you know, it's always a bit of a puzzle to do the set list, because doing a 5-hour show, I want to put in all the hits that people want to hear and a lot of stuff from the newest album, and each throwing a few surprises and a few deep tracks from some older records, and have my entire oeuvre fairly well represented. So it's tough, because it means that something always doesn't get played that you would like to have played, and no matter how long of a show you do, somebody's going to walk away going, oh, I can't believe he didn't play parentheses my favorite song here.
Do you have any songs that you kind of are expecting to play that you don't like to play?
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of any songs in my body of work that I just flat out don't enjoy playing. You know, there are some songs that I've played literally over 1,000 times. But, you know, it doesn't get old of me, because as long as fans still enjoy it and you're reacting positively, I still get an adrenaline boost out of that. And if I find out that the fans aren't enjoying the song anymore, I'm happy to take it out of the set list. But as long as people still want to hear it, I'll keep playing Yoda, I'll keep playing Eat It, I'll, you know, I'm an entertainer, I, you know, that's my job description, I, you know, I give people what they want.
And a slightly used sombrero, and I'll even throw in a stapler if you insist. Craigslist! I'm on Craigslist, baby, come on!
So with the DVD you were just talking about, is there any big differences that you kind of implemented for that show, since you knew you were going to be recording it, versus the tour that you're going to be starting pretty soon?
It's pretty much a spoiler. I mean, if you see the DVD, you're basically seeing the whole live show that we're doing this fall. I think the only time when we upped the ante was for the Lady Gaga parody. We brought in the male dancers for this show, and we're not traveling with male dancers. So that's the only thing that we did differently in the and the taping that isn't already in the tour that we're doing. But having said that, I mean, the tour is a pretty big production anyway. I mean, you know, we try to make every live show that we do bigger and better than the one before. So it's going to be quite the traveling circus. It's a very theatrical kind of live show, and we're always upping the ante and trying to make it bigger and better.
Cool. All right, so I just got one more question for you. First, there's a statement, and I saw you recently on The View, and they featured you on a Where Are They Now segment, which I thought was pretty lame, because you've been around forever, and you've always been around, but that kind of led to wonder, do you think you'll ever stop making music, parodying music?
I can't foresee a time when I'd be tired of doing that. I still love my job, I love what I do, I get a huge kick out of it, and I've always said that, you know, people will let me know when it's time to go away, but as long as I still have an audience, as long as people are still enjoying what I do, I'm happy to keep doing it.
Can't read my, no, he can't read a my polka face.
She's got to love nobody.
Can't read my, no, he can't read a my polka face.
If you liked what you just heard, you can see Weird Al Yankovic live on September 12th at the Utah State Fairgrounds.
Womanizer, woman, womanizer, you're a womanizer. Oh, womanizer, oh, you're a womanizer, baby. You are.
Northern Utah hip-hopper Pat Main has been on the scene for quite some time, perhaps best known for his work with Linus Stubbs and DJ Street Jesus. He's recently released a new album called Nighttime Medicine. Here's a new track off of the Nighttime Medicine EP called Wants Like Needs.
Alive and well. Just give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like needs, my wants like needs. Just give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like needs, my wants like. I wanna slip my life some drugs and take advantage of reality. Look up at the world from the vantage of my fantasy. I wanna be beneath the light and know that it's all cancer free. Make happiness love company and tell her to come dance with me. I want the radio not pay to play. Need change for the things of the day to day. Hate the fade to great and how it's ain't okay to feel safe but everything just stays the same. I don't wanna they say, he say, she say. Or mayday, delay, replay. I don't wanna hate days and I love the keepsakes and me with the base. Place where the beats pray. I want it like you stole it from me, or it's worth in gold or money. World doesn't owe me something, but it doesn't owe me nothing. Don't have a poker face, I've never been one known for bluffing. I'm not a joker ace, I don't play the fool, I'm all in. Give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like needs, my wants like needs. Just give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like needs, my wants like. I ain't leaving till demands are met. I need the world and a jet. I want all of the above and beyond. I want it answered just like I need water and a breath. I want all of their respect. Want it like I need it, so I need the answer. I want some inspiration in an IV. I need a situation where my house is insulated by my pipe dreams. I wish to make it for my team. I'd be a twist of fate without them. That would twist and break me from my blind leap. I wanna do more than just thank you. Wanna make moves till I find a better way to. For the fam and the fans and support that has turned the breakpoints into breakthroughs. Want more from my mom than serenity prayers. Or the heavenly stares, or the energy scare. Family spare from what I'll never be. What a lot, the universe made it prepare. I want it like you stole it from me. Or it's worth in gold or money. World doesn't owe me something, but it doesn't owe me nothing. Don't have a poker face, I've never been one known for bluffing. I'm not a joker ace, I don't play the fool, I'm all in. Give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like needs, my wants like needs. Just give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like needs, my wants like. I ain't leaving till demands are met. I need the world and a jet. I want all of the above and beyond. I want it answered just like I need water and a breath. I want all of their respect. Want it like I need it, so I need the answer. I want. I need. Why stop? I got, I'm not until I see my dreams succeed. It seems that we must bleed for things that we believe in. My pain just deepens to reap the things I see fit, so I keep from healing. Sacrifice. Seems I'm a bleed of the passion dies. Or I had the life that I want like I need, so I'm not asking. I so relax at what I might be passing by. I'm steadily filling the gaps that I for the wrong path, but I can't classify. But I'm ready for what the life has in mind. Got wants, they need to be satisfied. I want it like you stole it from me, or it's worth in gold or money. World doesn't owe me something, but it doesn't owe me nothing. Don't have a poker face, I've never been one never bluffing. I'm not a joker ace, I don't play to fold, I'm all this. Give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like me, my wants like me. Just give me what I want, then I leave. I treat my wants like me, my wants like. I ain't leaving till demands are met. I need the world and a jet. I want all of the above and beyond. I want it answered just like I need water and a breath. I want all of the respect. Want it like I need it, so I need the answer. Yes.
I want super, I want super.
You can see that song performed live when Pat Maine comes to the Urban Lounge with Sweatshop Union and Burnell Washburn on September 2nd. The Black Angels are a psychedelic rock band from Austin, Texas. Their latest album, Phosphine Dream, was released September 14th in 2010. Jeanette Moses had a chance to talk with the band when she was down at this year's South by Southwest.
Yeah, it is different. You know, there's a lot going on. It's, you know, I don't know how many bands are here. I don't know if it's 2,000 or 4,000 or what it is, but it's a lot. It's a lot of competition. So if you think about it like that, what are you gonna choose to go see? You know, a lot of people don't want to stand in line. You know, a lot of local people. You know, if you're flying in from out of town, you already put in the work, so you don't mind standing in line. But one of the things that's different is just like there's so much competition or so much going on, like so much amazing stuff. The best website to go check out like the coolest things to do anymore. It's like,
well, yeah, I guess. All these random places become venues that normally aren't.
The bike shop.
No, it's weird. It's wild here this week compared to other weeks. But I mean, there's always something you can check out live every night of the week. One of our friends' bands is always doing something.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
you guys have played South by Southwest a lot, obviously. When was the first time you played, and how many times have you played since then?
I think 2005 was our first.
Is that when we met Matt from Flightmatic?
Yeah.
Came to the
church. March 2005 was our first.
So we played it every year. It's
crazy. Every year since then we played.
That's crazy. That's weird.
I don't think
we've missed South by.
Nice.
Yeah, we've always been, I mean, such a fun time. All our friends' bands come into town.
Yeah, we're running around, like, dragging amps down the street. This year, actually, we're doing less. I remember one time, played, like, 6 or 7 shows with Black Angels, and then Christian and I had another, with Nate, had a side project called the Viet Minh, and we had another 3 or 4 shows, and it amounted to, like, 13 or 14 shows.
Wow.
In, like, 4 days. And like, at the end of it, we're like, I don't know if this, we're cut out for this music thing.
Yeah, I read somewhere that of all of the bands that play South by Southwest, you guys hold the record for playing some of the most showcases short period of time.
That's probably, I hadn't heard that, but that makes sense to me. I've never heard that, but I always thought that. So,
nice.
You know, I think one year, like, we did 7 or 8 shows, and gosh, I mean.
Several just, in a day, 3 or 4 in a
three
day.
3 or 4 in a day,
that's
like,
crazy.
By the end, you're just, like, spent. That's crazy.
And how many are you playing in this little?
This time we've had, we're really like just four.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like two nice. Showcases. This doesn't count as a show.
Yes.
We have one more like this tomorrow.
Say you have spent on the road since your inception as a band?
How many?
At least 150 days a year. So, you know, it's like we usually go out for like.
How many total shows you've ever played?
Yeah. We probably played, you know.
1,000 divided by.
8. We probably played close to 1,000.
Not a year.
Not a year. But yeah.
Total?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, it's probably about 125 to 150 a year. That's probably like a good guess. If you're doing like two or three tours. Since 2004.
Yeah, that would be...
Well, 100 plus. I mean, this year we're already going to do 150 shows.
You got to count the in-stores and radio.
Yeah.
In session.
We could probably figure it out, but obviously I think it might take another day.
That's a lot of math.
Yeah.
That cool feature on our website that logged every show. But we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Telephone, True Believer, and Yellow Elevator. Do you guys see the band headed in more of that kind of upbeat, mid-tempo direction?
I mean, I think, you know, for a long time we're doing like low, like slower kind of songs. And I think one of the things we're trying to just explore different tempos. We haven't been a band that long, but we realize it's fun to play songs a little bit quicker, you know.
Yeah,
it's fun for the fans to hear like songs that aren't just mid-tempo.
I mean, we love early Beatles, Zombies.
Trogs
and that kind of style.
The Searchers.
It's fun to try to dive into that kind of feel.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I guess our other influences came through more the new album. Some of our, you know, instead of just like
the Velvets,
Velvet Underground, Spaceman 3,
Silver Apples.
There's a lot of ingredients that make the Black Angel.
Yeah.
And different ones shine through on different songs.
Okay. Another thing that I kind of found in that album, everything seemed to be shorter than what's appeared on earlier albums.
Yeah.
Was that conscious? We're going to try and write shorter?
Yeah,
I think it was. You know, we worked with a producer this time, first time we ever worked with a producer. And one of the things we want to do is reach more people with the record. And, you know, we understand that people's attention spans for 18-minute songs, you know, are kind of like, not many people want to sit down and listen to an 18-minute song, you know. Like, we will do that all day. But, like, a lot of, you know, if you go see a band, like, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, well, what are they doing? So one of the things we would try to do is have more movement within the song. And I think that kind of led to, okay, well, what's the song about? What do we need in the song? What don't we need? Live, we can kind of do whatever we want. Live, I think our songs are kind of stretched out a little bit.
Yeah.
We can kind of do whatever we want live, which is kind of fun to not play it exactly like the record, but what's going on over there?
So then talking a little more about stuff that you've had released, that track that you collaborated on with Uncle that appears on the Twilight soundtrack, and you've also had music appear on shows like Californication and House. When those opportunities kind of came up, was it ever like this weird question like, do we want our music to appear on these platforms, or was it an easy decision?
I think it was probably a little, we always kind of questioned that. Yeah, and like,
we like having our songs on shows we probably watch.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, Twilight's probably not necessarily something we'd watch. We knew that the soundtrack had an amazing, we knew that the soundtrack was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just by hearing all the other bands and hearing samples.
Yeah, Radiohead was on it, Dead Weather.
Yeah, Black Keys.
So, I mean, it was good company,
One time we were talking to Black Keys and Dan said, or Pat said, actually, he's like, man, if you ever get anything sent to you, like for television, or that somebody wants to listen, you know, play your music on a television show, just do it. He's like, people are gonna be turned on to your music,
yeah,
you know.
More people.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things. It's like, yeah, it's a fine line. What do you do? What don't you do? But
I mean, I think our goal from the beginning has been to play or have our music heard by as many people as possible, and that only helps to do that.
Yeah,
that spreads your sounds to a lot bigger audience.
Yeah, the debate always comes back to, well, do we want more people to hear our music, or do we want less people to hear our music. And if you go back to that thinking, then you can,
and then
it helps a lot. It's not like you're gonna do every single advert that comes to our way.
Oh yeah, I mean, like we turn
a lot of stuff down.
You know, like it's some NASCAR-y kind of ad.
NASCAR ad.
Want to use one of our songs.
Oh, check this, an Army recruiting commercial. Recruiting for the Army, wow. U.S. Army or the Marines wanted to use it, and we were just like, how did this even get to it? I was like, is that, I thought it was a joke. I thought, I was like, wow. Like, I would totally,
what
if I had the money.
What song did they want to use?
I can't, maybe Black Grease or something. I can't remember, but like, it wasn't Young Men Dead, but that would have been awesome. Jokes on them. But, yeah, that was one of the strangest things we've ever gotten, is the Army recruiting or Marine recruiting advertisement.
That's crazy.
I mean, they're just like, they're already like all in your school district and like brainwashing your children into thinking that like it's a good idea. Like, it's so messed up, man. Like, I remember like a lot of my friends in high school were like, yeah, well, you know, this guy keeps calling me and, you know, he really wants me to join the Army, and I guess I'll just do it. You know, I have nothing else to do. I'm just like, dude. No, like there's brainwashing, you know, it's like they're telling you that you're worthless, and that was what they were telling them, you know. It's like, oh, well, you know, you're, this is going to keep you out of jail and all this stuff. You know, some of the people still ended up in jail.
And check out the feature you just heard in our April 2011 issue online, along with Jeanette's review of their last show at Urban in May and their set at 2011 South by Southwest. Every week, we like to do a rundown of our daily calendar section with different Slug staff members. This week, I'm sitting here with Astaire. How you doing, Astaire?
Great. How are you?
Good. 3 weeks in a row. That's more than a coincidence, isn't it?
It must be a favorite.
Well, let's tell the people what's going on this week. Are you ready for that, do you think?
Yes.
Snoop Dogg is coming to town. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. It's well-known news.
Yeah, what am I thinking? I'm glad you know about it. It's September 8th. At the Gallivan Center. I'm sure you'll be purchasing a ticket and attending inside the walls.
I will definitely be doing that.
Of the Gallivan Center. And Friday, September 9th, we have another exciting edition of a local music showcase we do. Do you want to tell people about that one?
Yeah, it's Slug Localized, and every second Friday of the month, Slug hosts a local music showcase. We actually have features on them in our magazine. It's really awesome. Everyone should attend. This month we have the 321s playing, Cicadas and the Saint Anne. It's an Urban Lounge, and it's only $5 to attend.
What'd you just say?
The Urban Lounge.
No, after that.
And it's only $5 to attend.
That's a deal right there. I just wanted to comment on that. That's an amazing deal.
It is a deal.
Because sometimes you'll be going to a concert, it's going to cost $50, $40. Mm-hmm. But we're bringing you some of the best local groups around, three of them, for only $5. That's pretty good. So it's a good way to support the scene and get some money into some musicians' pockets, because they are paid, believe it or not, paid to rock and roll for us. So.
Yeah, I believe that you're there every Friday.
I am there.
Localized.
You are correct.
Yep, you're the MC, right?
Yeah, there's some pretty damning evidence of, let's just say it was a night. I had myself a night last Localized. You can check it out online at slugmag.com. And Saturday, September 10th, I am not quite sure, but there's something spooky going on at Liberty Park.
No, something spectacular.
Oh, okay.
It's the Spooktacular Alley Cats, actually sponsored by Slug and the Utah Pride Center and my bike gang, Salty Spooks.
Oh yeah, I heard some rumors about you guys.
No.
Pretty vicious out there. Man, carry switchblades and everything.
We need to keep things quiet. It's going to be really awesome. An alley cat is a...
type of cat that lives in an alley. Right.
No. Yes.
Okay, yes and no.
An alley cat is a scavenger hunt on your bicycle. And this one you'll do in groups. And registration starts at 11. We're meeting at Liberty Park over by the carnival rides. And it's carnival themed, so come dressed up. And you're going to be playing carnival games at all of the stops.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it is.
And Sunday, September 11th, there's going to be another edition of the Urban Flea Market. It's at Washington Square from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, go to fleamarketslc.com. Have you been to one of these events yet, Astaire?
I haven't been to the Urban Flea Market here. I've been to one in San Francisco.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. I got an erotic massage on accident.
Look at that, radio gold. Podcast gold, I mean. I wish that was more relevant to us here, but I think it was awesome regardless. It was a good aside. Thank you. And make sure, if you haven't already, download our iPhone apps inside of the applicable markets. It's under Slug Magazine, of course, and that's got info on the daily calendar right on it. And best of all, it's almost as cheap as the Localized show. It's $0. Hey, thanks a lot, Esther. That was fun, as usual.
Yes, good times.
And good luck at the Spooktacular event.
Hopefully you'll be there.
Fingers crossed. Plastic Furs are a local psychedelic rock band from Salt Lake. They've shared the stage with Autolux, Ben Queller, and well-known country rocker Spindrift. This is a new song called You See Nothing off their new album, Does It Explode? Plastic Furs will be releasing that album, Does It Explode, at the Garage on September 10th with Pretty Worms and Night Sweats.
Don't write me no letter.
The Urban Flea Market features a variety of vendors selling used and new goods and artwork. The event takes place at Washington Square Park from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. every Sunday. It's free to attend and there's space for over 80 vendors. Here's our Princess Kennedy speaking with Kate Whedon of KRCL about the event she created and the unique goods you can find there.
So tell us about the flea market. Tell us about why you started it, why Salt Lake City needed one.
Well, I spent about, I'm a Utah native, but I spent about 10 years in California and moved back here a couple of years ago. And one thing I really missed when I moved back to Salt Lake were all of the great flea markets that I used to go to. And so it's something I've been thinking about for the last, you know, year. And I had the opportunity this spring to propose it to the city, and they were very interested, and they actually came on as a major sponsor. And so from there, I contacted the Downtown Alliance. They were definitely interested, and I think one of the main points of the flea market, aside from it being a cool flea market, is the fact that it would be an event happening on Sundays in downtown Salt Lake City. The first flea market was July 31st. We had great response. We probably had about 40 vendors at the market, and they were selling a wide range of just cool stuff. I mean, anything from kitschy, deco, antique, vintage stuff to handmade items. You know, there was a little girl there selling some items that, you know, her, some of her toys so she could save up to buy a gecko. You know, we had a number of sponsors there. I mean, it was just really a great event, and I was really happy with the community that came out as well. And so I was very pleased with the first one, and it just, you know, basically turned out the way that I was hoping it would. So there are four events total over the summer. July 31st was the first one, and then August, September, and October are the second Sundays of the month. So we just had our August 14th date, and it was even bigger than the first event.
Tell me about that. I missed that one.
Yeah, we had probably 20 more vendors than we did at the first event. Definitely probably twice as many people came to attend. There were, you know, one of the DJs from KUER, the older, you know, who worked at KUER in the past, brought some of his records down, and KRCL was there with some of their records and CDs. And
that they were selling?
Yes, they were selling.
Awesome.
And also, you know, fundraisers for the station. And we had a number of antique vendors there, and we had more local artists at this event. And we had a lot of people who, from attending the first flea market, really understood what it was. So a lot of people came with things from their homes and realized that, in a sense, as you mentioned in your article a while ago, it is like having, you know, 400 people come to your garage
sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And people are starting to understand that concept.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's awesome. Each of your events feature a different rescue. So your first one was?
Yeah, each event will feature a different animal rescue. The first event in July, we had Cause for Paws Utah there. And the August event, we had the Utah Animal Adoption Center there. And they brought some kittens and puppies and older dogs, and they actually adopted out two animals that day and had a lot of great leads, and a lot of people did donate to that organization. In the September event, we will have the Humane Society of Utah, and then October will feature No More Homeless Pets.
Tell me about that, the No More Homeless Pet.
Oh, No More Homeless Pets is just a local animal rescue, and they have different adoptions around different organizations.
Based here in the city?
Yes, based here in the city.
Nice. How have you been choosing your rescues? I mean, are they just ones that are close to your heart, or?
A lot of the rescues are close to my heart. It's also, I've looked into like their mission statements and what they do for, you know, the community, and also a lot of them, for instance, with the Utah Animal Adoption Center, they work a lot with animals that they pull from shelters to keep from being, you know, safe from being euthanized, and then they also work with older pets as well, and older animals, you know, to try and place them in homes. No letter. Don't you send me no news, 'cause I got these wasted blues. I don't agree, but then no one ever listens to me.
What kind of cool things? Because I know that you like to go and shop at the flea market. What kind of cool things have you found that you've gotten at your own little flea market? See, I couldn't do this because I would buy everything. I would be broke every month.
That's the struggle. At this last market, I found a set of amazing leather and chrome chairs from the 20s.
Cool.
That I got for an unbelievable price. I also found a pair of like English knee-high authentic riding boots.
Oh,
I found some.
I'm so jealous right now. In your size.
Yes, in my size.
Do they have other?
Which is hard to find them in my size, but no, they were just like
a pair. Just a random.
They were just a pair of boots that were sitting there. And
see what you can find at the flea market.
Yes.
See what you can find at the flea market. That's what it's about, you know. And then I love all these craft things. Don't get me wrong. I love the craft markets and I love the farmers markets and I love all that stuff. But this is a flea market.
Yes.
This is a flea market. This is what you want. This is where you want to go and find that amazing 70s disco outfit or that rug, that, you know, ultra, ultra cheap score of that Persian rug that somebody, you know, just had up in the attic forever.
Exactly.
And that's what I love about flea markets, I have to say. I'm really excited for the future of this. I mean, it's so great. You know, it's kind of dangerous. It's going to be so close to my house. And Mary's got her cafe open for it, the Washington Square Cafe. And I don't know if anybody's been to the Washington Square Cafe, which is it must have been there since the since it was built.
Yeah, since it was built.
You know, it's a really cool, old-school looking cafe, and she does a special brunch menu just for that. Just for the flea market. She doesn't open on Sundays except for that, so I think that's really cute.
Well, and that was one thing about the flea market is that we decided to not bring in food vendors, and one of the main reasons is because we wanted people who were attending the market to frequent restaurants in the downtown area.
Uh-huh.
One thing we found, and Mary was always, you know, she's always been on board from day one that she would love to open the cafe just for that one event. But prior to the market, I was driving around downtown and realized that there aren't any coffee shops or anything open in that area. And so luckily I was also able to find the Three Brothers Tacos, who's on the corner of 2nd East and 5th South, and that is his designated spot in the city. So he's there as well, and I'm hoping that, you know, with some of the coffee shops who are directly across the street, places like that, that they'll notice.
The one in the library is probably open.
Yeah, and the library opens, but it's not open until, I think,
one. The coffee shop might open earlier.
Yeah, but, you know, and I still want to continue that because I have had a lot of inquiries from food vendors, but I really still want to keep it just with helping those businesses that are in downtown Salt Lake.
Somebody does come down with their garage sale and they don't want to bring it back home with them. They don't want to have to deal with that stuff.
I mean, you know, one of the main things about the flea market when we propose it to the city is it also, in a sense, is recycling. And I think with certain people and certain vendors, if it's somewhat of a yard sale, then it helps them from potentially throwing some of these items away and then they may end up in the landfill. And so we really encourage people that when they come down, you know, it is an opportunity to make some money, but if they're at the market and they don't sell items and they don't want to take them home, then we have a really great store called Our Store, which is located on 3rd East and about 4th South, and they are part of the Utah AIDS Coalition, and they come after each market and with their donation truck, and so vendors, if they don't want to take anything home, then they donate those to Our Store, and then Our Store helps them with their fundraising.
That's awesome. Save you a trip to the DI, too. Our Store, they're good thing. Tell us the no-nos. What you cannot bring and sell.
Items that people cannot sell are the obvious. Guns, live animals, except for the animals that are in the rescue, weapons, drug paraphernalia, any sort of like questionable items like that. But other than that, I mean, that's been the biggest thing is just sort of educating.
What about thimble collections and teaspoon collections?
They are absolutely acceptable. In fact, I think they might do very well.
I think they do really well, too. Okay, we've got the one coming up here on September 14th?
September 11th.
September 11th. Oh. 9/11, huh?
Yeah.
And then the one is
October 9th.
October 9th. Well, I will be there looking for vintage ski sweaters.
Yes.
I want vintage ski sweaters. I'm all about that this fall. And I would like some vintage flannel. I think I want some vintage flannel. And I would like I'd like somebody to bring me a nice selection of fur coats that I can look through. So if you'll please do that, I will be out there shopping and hanging out with Kate. And if you haven't met Kate, she's adorable and she would love you to come and support her and support the flea market and support your local people and restaurants and all of that great stuff. And Kate, before we sign off here, is there anybody that you want to give a shout out to that helps you out a lot with your flea market?
Absolutely. I want to say, you know, a huge thank you to Michael Sanders, who is the owner of Now and Again. He has helped me find some of the amazing vendors that we have, and also to help organize the event. And each event also hosts a arts and crafts section for the kids, and so the Utah Society of Environmental Education has come out to provide arts and crafts for the kids at the events. There's a number of people, Mary from Washington Square Cafe, and Alex, who's been helping to organize the events, and all of our great volunteers, and just a number of people, and certainly, you know, Salt Lake City and the Downtown Alliance, and our other sponsors, you know, Molding Box, Metro Display, Slug Magazine, KRCL, Salt Lake Tribune, City Weekly, Edible Wasatch Magazine, and of course Michael's store Now and Again.
For more information, go to fleamarketslc.com. Thanks for listening to Sound Waves from the Underground. For more information about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, visit slugmag.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or even an angry thought about the show, send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That's 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design was by T. Doan, technical design by Kate O'Connor, and audio mastering from Andrew Glassett. A special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. This is JP. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Soundwaves from the Underground.